This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linneken, and I'm with...
James Wrench.
Hi, James. Hi. Good to be back. I was away. I feel like I've been in and out, New York, back, Mexico, all over. But I'm glad to be home and back settled in. Thank God. There's no place like home. You know? So,
praise God.
Yeah, praise God. I hope everybody enjoyed Pastor Tom last week. He was on his own, which was nice for him, right? And he was talking about kingdom mentality. So I hope people enjoyed that show. I'm so grateful that we have a man of God like that can step in. And
what time in the morning, the like that next Friday, will be on?
It's on Saturday morning.
Saturday,
right?
Morning.
Or is it Friday morning? Friday morning.
Oh, it's on this morning.
It's Friday mornings. So our show is every live, should be live, except for when, you know, something is going on, but 95% of the time it's live, right, David? Okay. So, and it's on Fridays live at 5 p.m. every Friday, Kingdom Recovery. And then it replays Friday mornings, the previous Friday that we played on the morning of the live show is the past recording. It gets recorded. So you get last week's show in the morning of this Friday, today, and then today we record the live show at 5, and it's at, what, 5 in the morning? 5 in the morning is last week's show, and then we record this week's show, and next Friday, the recording is at 5 a.m. of this live show. So for those who are listening, it's Kingdom Recovery. I know we get some, they get emails. I get some people reaching out to say, what's the name of the show? Because sometimes they tune in the middle of it. So it's Kingdom Recovery. And it's at 5 p.m. every Friday live. And then it repeats itself Friday mornings at 5 a.m. So we want to share that with people because there's been some inquiries. I'm glad you even asked, James.
Yeah, so Tom, in other words, Tom was on last week and he was on this morning.
Correct, yeah. So it's really good. And the website, you can listen to any show, you know, that was it was previously recorded. And it's any of the shows that you feel like, oh, I missed that week, you can get it on demand. And that goes with all the programs, right? Some of the programs on WCNO do it. And Kingdom Recovery is one of them. And we're very grateful for that. Because there's a lot that gets covered. And it's hard to, you know, I guess, digest everything. So it's really good that you do go back and you listen to... The teachings that we do, you know, especially because we just keep moving. It's a live show, so we just move on to the next thing. And if you want to hear the beginning of something, you have that availability, which is really good. WCNO is able to do that for us. And we're grateful. So, and God does it for all of us because he knows it's a good message, right? Especially for people who are suffering from, and it's really mental torment. That's what we're talking about. You know, when we talk about 12-step recovery, it's recovering from a hopeless state of mind, body, and spirit. So it's not only drugs and alcohol, which is a big deal, right? But it could be unforgiveness, bitterness, fear, worry, all these things that keep us in bondage or keep us in the dark, are, they harass us, are keeping us from moving forward in his glorious light and in his presence, so that we can live to our potential, the fullness of who he wants us to be, as he created us to be. So demons or spirits, that's why they call alcohol a spirit, you know. So
yeah, it may not be a spirit, but it'll sure let some in.
Yeah, it'll let some in, right. And the Holy Spirit is only, there's only one Holy Spirit, but many other angels. Demonic spirits.
And there's angels.
And there's angels. Okay, so we are starting, this is a good time of year to start back at step one, is where we're going to talk about confession. Go ahead, James.
I just want to say, the Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus in that scripture. And if you ever listen to someone and they got like other awesome ways to sound like healing and stuff, but you're not hearing it glorifying the Lord, there's alternative ways. And that's going to accelerate. We're coming in acceleration. Revival's coming, and the demonic force is going to turn up too. It's going to turn up on both sides. So just remember, if you're not sure, he'll be glorifying Jesus. If the Holy Spirit's giving it to someone, it's always Amen. To glorify Jesus.
Amen. And that's why it's important we take captive every thought. We bring it to the obedience of Christ, because we want to make sure that what we're receiving is from God. And even when I counsel somebody, when I'm counseling, I always lead the person to Scripture, to Christ, to God, to Jesus, because he's the healer. He's the redeemer. He's the one who laid his life down for us. God loves us, and it wasn't God's love that saved us. It's Jesus' sacrifice that saved us. God loves us even when we're sinners, so it's not him not loving us. It's what Jesus did for us on the cross that redeems us, gave us the salvation. And if we don't know Jesus, we're only going to know God in a very vague way. We're not going to know him intimately, because Jesus is the only way. And that's what step one is all about. It's about getting out of the way, you know, so that, or out of the ways that we've been trying, and get into the way, his way.
And
so
it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the mystery revealed. And so yeah, the veil of the temple was torn. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit was released to live in us. And now we can also go in. So I think it goes both ways, because I used to go, was it the Holy Spirit coming out or us being able to go in? You know, but it's both. But now he lives in us. So if it's the Holy Spirit in us talking, it's Jesus in us. You Amen. Know what I mean? So he's glorifying Jesus. If Jesus appears to you in a vision, that's the Holy Spirit making that happen, though.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to know that. You can have the Lord appear to you and not know that. But
because the Holy Spirit is with us here right now.
Yeah,
as
he's
we
the
live
only
our
God
life.
Agent in the earth.
That's right.
Now.
And to have a relationship with him is very important. He wants to have a relationship with you. Okay. So, and step one, and what we're going to be talking about today is about being honest. Honesty, because it's a big step. You know, we admitted we were powerless over our whatever it is, sinful behaviors, and our lives had become unmanageable. And you know, it can appear that we have a very nice life, but we're not living it in a righteous way. So you can be working hard, making good money, but you're doing it with the wrong kind of heart, and the heart of money's my savior. Money's gonna help me get what I need. And when we're thinking that way, we're not thinking in line. That's not Holy Spirit. So I just want to share that. And that's what we admitted. We were powerless. If I still think that I have the ability to get myself out of something, or to learn my way out of something, you know, like if I have enough information, or if I work hard enough, or if I try it this way, or if, you know, in my life, I used all different types of resources, worldly goods, people, places, and things. I thought relationships would save me. I'm sorry, I'm coughing, but when I got off the ship, I got a little, I guess, cold, and I'm coming out of it, which is a big deal. Let me just get something to drink. Wow. Okay. The enemy wants to try to get in the way of this.
Yeah,
Okay. All right. So, yeah, that was a little bit of an attack, huh? Okay. So, in my life, I try to use different ways to relieve my worry, relieve my fear, relieve my financial insecurities, and none of them worked. And it wasn't until I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior that my life started to really change. And step one is about admitting that my way doesn't work anymore. I'm powerless over all the things that I've tried. They don't give me the power that I need. And it's only until I understand that what Jesus Christ has done for me, not just knowing about him, but knowing him intimately and understanding that his sacrifice, he did it because it was a law that needed to be fulfilled. It was a command that needed to be fulfilled, okay? And he came and did that for us, for all of us. And once I accept him as my Lord and Savior, then the power of the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in me. But I have to know this. Otherwise, I'm going to still walk very powerless and be looking for that ability to be able to rescue myself out of things, whether it's unforgiveness, whether, and you know, the ways we choose is I'll never talk to that person again. Or the big one is I forgive them, but I won't forget.
Yeah.
I forgive, but I won't forget. The forgetting is the biggest part of it, because if you can't forget, you're the one that's going to be haunted all the time. So forgiveness is really important, forgiving and forgetting, because it's the always remembering that keeps the resentment alive, you know. But when you can get past the remembering of it and the torment of it, then you're free. And that's what Jesus does. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. So when we admit we are powerless over our behaviors, over the ways we've been trying to do life, and our life has become unmanageable because of it, then we can start the process of walking in what God already gave us, because they start to reveal in our heart. It all starts to get revealed. The light starts shining on those dark places. So either we know Jesus or we know about him, or in some cases we don't know him at all.
Yeah, I'll just say, yeah.
I don't know what's going on today.
Everything attacking Luann, stop right now completely in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
It's like saying, I know President Trump.
Right.
You know, you think you know all about him, but you don't really know him. I mean, there's a Pope once, and these people are saying a bunch of stuff. And I just mentioned that when his children were growing up, they would come after school. When they in the summertime, they'd stay with him, and he would get the newspaper out. This is what they remembered, and go through tragedies and circle anybody that had like a tragedy, and have the secretary have him come in, and he'd ask him how he could help him. And because these people were listen to news and think they know him, they're all blasphemy. He did not do, like, they know him. I mean, we don't know him.
We do that with Jesus, too, yeah.
You know, I may discern things through the Spirit, but I don't know him. The same way with the Lord. You can know him. The Holy Spirit came so he can live in us and be intimate and speak to us and guide us. It's not always going to be a voice. He speaks a lot through with me. I'm more the feeler type. I have heard him 8 times audibly, but it's usually a knowing or a feeling. And so he's speaking to all of us. I'm just saying that to don't sit out there thinking, oh, well, he don't speak to me. He's trying to speak to you. You'll go, someone calls, you ain't heard from him in 3 years, and you're like, I was just thinking about you yesterday. You know, it's just the Holy Spirit's trying to break in and get us to start being intimate with him and paying attention to
there are no coincidences.
His little
just divine appointments.
Way he speaks. So I'm not saying necessarily hearing anything.
Amen.
So
amen.
You can know him, but most people that argue about him don't know him. You know, they debate because they know about him.
Yeah.
Because if you know him, you won't debate.
You don't have
people
to.
People try to get me to debate. I'm just like, amen. I'm not arguing with this. Sorry.
So when we talk about sinful nature, I just want to talk a little bit what sinful means. It means wicked and immoral, wrongdoing, selfish behaviors and thought. Okay? It's our sinful nature. The battle is between the sinful nature and our godly nature when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the battle in our minds. It's a soul battle. Mind, mood, will, emotion, thoughts, ideas. It's that battle. Your spirit gets born again. But we can grieve. We can quench because we're so consumed by ourselves, you know, in self, in the I, self, and me isms of life that we can't see clearly. And we're being blocked by the sunlight with distractions, other resources that are false resources, that are not the true way, that look good, come wrapped very nicely, disguised as the angel of light at times. That's why you have to know him yourself. You can't rely on someone else's bread and what they know about God.
That's what the 10 virgins was about.
Amen.
They didn't have their oil, so they went and got oil, mm-hmm. went to buy oil. And that, I related that to the people, and I went to conferences. I liked like prophetic people and stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's people that kind of, that was their whole thing. They weren't spending time with the Lord getting their own oil.
Right.
They were living off those people's oils. And then when troubles come, it gets down to you and the Lord. You know, I've had so many, I shouldn't say so many, people that will constantly say they hear the Lord and try to correct everybody. And then all of a sudden they end up with, say, cancer or something like that. And then they're like, well, I don't know if I ever hear the Lord. And you're mm-hmm. like, you've been correcting these people for the last 10 years, trying to tell them they're not hearing the Lord because you hear better than them. And now you don't know. Well, I don't know. You know, it's like when the rubber meets the road, you'll find out if you really have intimacy.
Amen. That's true. And it's also the battle is between believing and unbelieving. All right. So we have to know what we feed ourselves, what we believe is how we're going to be. We act that out. It, you know, faith motivates. It gives us the desire to take action, our faith. And we can be faithing in the wrong thing.
Yeah, I just want to say there's unbelief and then there's doubt. It's mm-hmm. two different things, two different forces. Because you can just not know. Mm-hmm. You don't know God heals people. And those people are easy to get healed. But if you have a skeptic, critical thing that's not real, that'll definitely block. I've seen it recently block. Everybody in the room was healed except that one person. I knew when I walked in the room that person wasn't going to be healed. It's just, I could see it. And he's come out of it a lot. We've become friends.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a different force. So sometimes when I'm praying for someone and they're not being healed, sometimes I'll just say, look in my eyes, spirit of doubt, come out in Jesus' name and pray again and they're healed. I have seen that quite a few times. So we have two forces there. Someone just needs to learn, but their unbelief is out of not knowing.
Right.
You know, you go to a church 35 years, it's never taught on healing and never seen a healing. You just don't know. It's a different force when you're getting into skeptic doubt.
So I just want to go a little bit deeper in whether we know Jesus or we know about him, or in some cases we don't know him at all. When we talk about believer, it's a person who believes that a specific thing is effective, proper, or desirable. That's where faith motivates. That's when we're believing we're fully in. And it's knowing him intimately because we want to know everything about. Like when I remember when I, you know, it's been a long time since I dated, but when I dated my first boyfriend, I wanted to know everything about him. I wanted to know what color he liked, what food he liked, everything. It's the same thing with Christ. When Jesus, when we accept him in our heart, there's a desire to want to know more and go deeper with him. And that's where believing gets strengthen your spiritual strength and your spiritual growth. And then the atheist is a person, and this is where the unbeliever, like you're saying, they know of God. There's a concept, could be, maybe, possibly, you know, who is disbelieves or lacks belief in the existence of God or, you know, any kind of force. And then there's the agnostic. And that's a person that could be a believer, but like James is saying, doesn't know certain things about God, hasn't stepped out into those areas. And because we have chambers in our heart, we talk about the heart in one of our teachings, you know, the different chambers. And there was parts of my heart I didn't know, I didn't even understand that God should be in them, like my finances, my parenting. I thought, like, you know, I love you. I didn't know he was supposed to be in every area of my life, every room in my mansion, in my heart. You know, and as I suffered in those areas, you know, trying to control it, make things happen, or fear that somebody was going to take something, or, you know, I'm not going to get what I want. As that consumed me, sooner or later, you know, it's so, God is so good because he designed the curse out of love. It's really like a parent. If you don't get burnt, you don't know that the flame is hot. So there's no way to indicate you're doing something that's harming you. So there had to be a time in my life, in every area of my life, that I know God is king and he's on the throne in those areas of my life. And I'm sure there's so many more rooms. And I'm always open to get another room open. I mean, I love it, right? But so far, every time I see where he's not 100% there, you know, I can see where my life can change, you know, and this is for everybody. So I didn't know that. I thought, okay, I have a higher power. I have God in my life. I know Jesus, but I didn't understand the whole big picture. And the more you spend time with him, the Holy Spirit will minister and talk to you and reveal God revelation through the word of God. It's only through the word of God that you can get transformed, the renewing of the mind. There's no other way. I mean, you can follow somebody and their thoughts on the word, but it's the actual true word, rhema of the word, that engraves your heart. And you could be reading the same thing over and over again. It happens to me a lot more often these days where I'm reading something and, oh my God, because I'm more sensitive to him. You know, he can reveal more because I'm you know, a little bit more spiritually grown, you know, and there's so much more to grow, but I can see it. I read the Bible and I'm like, wait a minute, what does that really mean, God? Teach me, Holy Spirit. And then I'm on a journey with him, you know, and I get a deeper revelation. And that he wants to start inside of us first. There's a lot of revelation I needed to know about myself before I can understand the world outside of me and not be so affected by the world outside of me. The more I understood who I was in him and that I was safe and that all the love that I'll ever need in life, in this lifetime, I already have, the more confident and the more free we are to be able to pour out to other people. And we've been talking about that in the 12 step.
If people could see him, they would respond a lot. Like, say he just was walking around with you for a week. The way you responded to people, you look at him and like, oh, I probably shouldn't say that, you know, but he's here in us. We're just not seeing
him. He's always present.
But if you can realize that and stay in touch and tune with him all the time, it'll change your life.
Right. And to be agnostic is not having any belief in God. Zero. Not even thinking that he's anything. Right? It's a person who believes that nothing is known. Absolutely nothing. Or he does not believe in the nature of God. That it's has no faith in God. But when people say I'm agnostic, I giggle a little bit because, you know, first of all, that's spiritual suicide. But I giggle because they have faith in not believing. So they have faith. We all have faith. There's a measure of faith in every one of us. How are we utilizing our faith? What are we putting our faith into? Determines how we're going to live our life and how free we're going to be, also with God or without him.
If you think about how many times all that worry, this is going to have worry that how many of them actually happened. It's so less than 1%, you know what I mean? But we still listen to that voice instead of what scripture tells us.
All right. Yeah. So doubting spirit of unbelief, both agnostic and atheist, are rooted from the spirit of unbelief and doubt, like James was saying. And it's really important that we know that because that's a real spirit that is very subtle.
And I just want to say that a good way on that note of what I was talking about, that is being taught wrong,
mm-hmm.
that's when you get into that critical and you know, and that's not so, and God doesn't do that anymore, or that passed away. Like he came to give us a better covenant, but there's healing in the old covenant now. It's better, even though he took it away. That'd be like you're married and you got a three-bedroom house with a pool, and you tell your wife, I get a nicer house, and you take her over, and it's got dirt floors, two bedrooms. And then, like, what do you mean it's not better? You know what I mean? The new covenant's better than the old covenant.
Amen. So John 8, 31 through 36, but I'm going to read 31. To the Jew, I might read it all. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, if you keep them, right, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Set you free, some say, but make you free is King James, New King James,
yeah.
which is so important because the word make means to form, put together. It means to construct and build us out of his creation. Creation starts from nothing, but being made starts from what he's already created. So he's now making something out of his creation. He created us in his image, right? And now he's making us in his character. Praise the Lord. His nature. Hallelujah. It's a manufacture, type and shadow, a kind of cause to exist. That's what to make means. So if he's going to make me free, he's creating me to be free. So when God creates you to be free, nobody can take that away.
Yeah, there's a, I don't know which Bible is, the Bible is where they just changed the these and thous out of that, but because that is a different text than most, all the other texts come from the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus, and which is a totally different than the Masoretic text mm-hmm. and the received text of the New Testament. So, I mean, they found like the whole book of Isaiah and the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it's like word for word lines up with the Masoretic text, which is what the King James is. So I don't get critical with getting into people, you need to read this or that, whatever they read. But I always look over there. It's just, I know it's a little more accurate on most of the stuff, like the make. And
amen. But I do the same thing. If I want to learn for myself more, and sometimes I will even say this is from the AMP, or this is because it's a little bit more digestible, but I always look at King James, New King James, just to know where the differences are and why they are, you know?
Yeah, because a lot of stuff left out, like
right.
hundreds, actually, scriptures yeah. if
but
you get some
to be set free means like to let loose free. And I think to be made means I am created to be free.
Yeah.
It's so much different than just like temporarily let me free.
I'm not picking anything up. No. I've been attacked. You know, I didn't go try to get cancer or,
amen.
Or even mm-hmm. depression or any of this stuff that's attacked me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like and some people will go dabble and open doors, but it's like it says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent taken by force. And we have authority over the enemy and to kick him out and to kick him out of others, kick him out of ourselves. But if you don't know there's an enemy, you're usually playing with them and you don't, in certain areas.
Right.
Not that you're doing anything bad either. It's just, it can be even just be worrying about what people are thinking about you. Just little, there's so much stuff the enemy does that we don't use all our thought life up, you know, instead of spending it with the Lord just on things like what's going on at church, what's going on at work, and they don't like me, or this person said this. Or that. That's all.
And that's why it's so important.
Chatter.
That's why it's so important because, you know, a sin is a sin and the cure is the cure. You know, like if we don't know the difference, then we're going to be stuck in something because we think it's, oh, you know, not a big deal or it's not, you know, it's so subtle. But when you know, that's when the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to convict us. It's the conviction that brings the, I don't want to say guilt, shame, and remorse, but it kind of is. It's like, okay, wait a minute. That doesn't feel right, that feeling. And that's a good thing. When you don't allow it to beat you up or keep you from God, but when you run towards him with that, he'll show you. He'll show you the freedom, the truth about it.
Yeah, and when I started casting demons out of others, that's when I started getting attacks with things mm-hmm. I never even felt before. Mm-hmm. I never really had the anger thing, but it would just, I started to know what they were feeling. But I had a, you know, I rebuke stuff off me. And I got where I was just fear was on me for like 3 days, just this level, like, and I was just didn't understand it. I just kept rebuking. And I don't remember what opened the door to it, but I was laying in bed and I just start complaining to the Lord. And I'm like, Lord, why can't I get this off me? And he said, you need to repent.
Amen.
And I jumped right out of the bed, got on my knees, said, forgive me for entertaining fear. And it left. I didn't even rebuke at that time. Usually I still have to now, but there is a repentance. I never looked at fear as sin. Mm-hmm. Fear not. We're told over like, it's like 500 times.
Mm-hmm.
Be not afraid. Fear not. You know, and
amen.
The enemy tells us something and we put faith in that.
Right.
Immediately believe in that over scripture. And we want to put the scripture in our heart daily, the renewing of our mind to stand on that. And
amen.
That's how we overcome the enemy.
That's right. Amen. So whenever you're faced with something, a challenge or something in your day, if you feel like you fear or worry or doubt something's coming, find a scripture that you can just, like in my family, my daughter was going through something and, you know, a circumstance happened and we got a scripture and every day we stand on this scripture. And she's getting, it's not about the result. It's about the now walk. She's strengthened by it. You know, I can hear it in her. She's like confident, like, no, this is it. This is it. And the more she's, it's her body's following her mind because that's what happens. You know, bring your, what does it say? Bring the body and the mind will follow. Well, really? Let me tell you something. You start renewing the mind and the body will start conforming. We have it backwards in this world. We start with the body. Then it's going to make you, if my body feels good, then my thinking will be good. Then I'll have spiritual peace. It doesn't work like that. Spiritual peace, you start thinking in a spiritual way and your body will start to transform. Your renewing of your mind and your body. But if you don't understand that your spiritual what your spiritual condition is in, and that's what the confession, admitting that we are powerless, that I'm dead. I'm basically dead when I'm powerless spiritually.
Yeah, you
not
know,
physically.
I was in the store a couple of days ago. I just kind of know the enemy. And it's easy to learn. You don't change his tactics. They stay the same if you learn how things feel. But I didn't cry over my mom. I didn't have any grieving over her passing. She's 92, and I know where she is. She knew the Lord well.
Yes.
Any wanting her here would be selfish, you know?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be what she wants. And I was in that new store, not Bell's, I forget, it's in Kmart parking lot. And all of a sudden, this grieving thing, and we're like, over my mom just come over, I started to tear up. And it had kind of a good feeling, like self-pity. It's tricky, you know. But I just felt that. And I'm like, heck no. I just like, you get off me right now in the name of Jesus. It left. And then I walked down the aisle, and this lady's coming by that her sister just died. And I'm like, all right, was that a word of knowledge? Or, which I believe it was just that spirit seeing me and trying to, but I tried to talk to her. I don't know her that well. I'm like, are you doing all right? She's like, yeah. I don't think she wasn't going to open up to me. But so I don't know for sure if it's a word of knowledge. But that's just how the enemy will come, you know. You'll just, your thought will come. When you think about most of your problems, if you'll really sit down and think about it, it usually started with a thought.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and whether it's fear or depression or whatever.
So on another teaching, I just want to read this because we're on this. It says, my main problem with whatever it is, my main problem with money, my main problem with drugs, my main problem with fear, my main problem with worry is in my mind. And that's the soul. And that's really where it's dwelling, right, James?
Mm-hmm.
And thinking in my heart mind of the heart is subconscious. It starts in the thoughts. And those are the unseen places. And God says, shut the door and spend time with him because he wants to renew your mind. Because we're so conditioned, we're born into it. We're born into the world. We're born into our situations and the messages we get, and we need cleaning. We need cleansing. We need a mind washing.
Yeah, I was so insecure and introverted, and it wasn't until I started getting into deliverance and getting delivered, I started realizing I don't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like I was such a nobody, and like nobody want to hear me, you know, and it's like, I was like, I don't know, I might be an Isaiah, so I don't know, you know, we don't know who we are because the enemy has got us so in our, this false personality going on in our mind that we thinks us that we've talked with our whole life, and you start getting that out, and you're like, I don't even really know who I am.
Mm. Yeah, so it's important that
I'm a son of God.
Amen.
I know that now.
I know who I am, right?
People are like, I'm a prophet. I'm like, well, I'm a son. My dad owns the whole thing, so you may work here as a prophet. It's like a car. I build the car. Well, my dad owns the dealership, the Ford dealer, you know.
Amen.
It's like we're sons and daughters of God. If we'd realize that and get out of this worm mentality, we would do great things.
Or trying to find an identity through...
Yeah, they
a
do.
Title.
Rejection makes you want to be a prophet or apostle or, you know, through that name because you feel like people aren't going to receive what you have to say. If you just say, I'm Joe, you know, they're like, oh, hi, Joe. No, I'm Apostle Joe or Prophet Joe or Dr. Joe. And it's out of a actually like a just not feeling confident in being a son, you know. You don't need to put that on there, you know, and I'm not even beating them up for doing it. It's kind of an insecurity thing. It's coming out of rejection, stripping them of their identity, and keeps you so concerned with what everybody else thinks about you. It's crazy.
So wait a minute. Yeah, so they didn't call Paul Pastor Paul or...
Yeah.
Gotcha. So step one starts with admitting, confessing, and understanding, believing we need saving, we need help, we need rescue, and that Jesus is the only one who has all the authority and power to save. He is both Lord and Savior of our lives. Now, we say Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but if you look up the word Lord, it's ownership of all, and Savior is his sacrifice, what he's done. He's the only one that's done it, and he didn't do it because he was sin. He wasn't. We were. He bore our sin. He didn't sin.
He lived perfect. And
he lived perfect.
Took our punishment.
That's right.
Bore our sins. And
hallelujah. And he did that to redeem us. He did that to fulfill the law of sin. And God sent him because he loved us. But Jesus had a choice all the way to the end. Amen. So, and Jesus is the only way. Any other way to interpret step one or to do step one or to believe step one or to, I guess, understand step one is outside God's way. There's only one way. There are many roads, but there's only one true way to the Lord, to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one plan and one desire that God has. And it's not... And if it's not Jesus, it's not the solution. And that's the bottom line. So whatever you're doing, if it's not founded by Jesus, the foundation of Jesus, the Word, because Jesus is the Word, Word in the flesh, if it's not Word-based, then you're in the wrong direction. It's the wrong way.
And he wants to be in your everything. I just want to say, don't misread like I... build race cars or fabricate race cars and he showed me so many things and things that weren't invented for 10 years and he actually said I was supposed to put some of it out and never did, but he shows me things wrong with cars, he shows me where tools are. I mean, all day it's conversation.
Amen.
With the Lord. It's she's not saying that you have to like, well, I don't see race cars in the Bible, you know. It's like, no, it's about an intimate relationship, but he just wants to be in fellowship with you 24/7.
Yeah. It's like even with parenting, and it becomes so much easier when I'm being led by him. You know, like everything. I just, that's just the way it is. Like, I won't even respond to certain people, places, and things unless I have a discussion with God. Mm-hmm. Because I'm afraid I'm going to get in the way. You know, so if you're not sure, just go to him. And to ask him to lead and guide you. He just wants, like James said, have that intimacy. He wants to be included. He wants to be present. He wants you to know he's present. He's there. But if he's not, he says, if you open the door I will come in and dine in you, dine in you. So we have to let him in these areas of our life. Okay? Because Jesus is the only one way. There's not ways to get there. It's one way to salvation and sanctification daily, only through Christ. So God's love was poured out at the cross. He set us free, Jesus. And my part is to take the action and be what freedom looks like, the process of being morally right, living a way that other people see what God is doing in my life, what God's doing in your life. So Acts 4:12-14 says, only Jesus has the power to save. His name is the only one in all the world that can save anyone. The officials were amazed to see how brave Peter and John were, and they knew that these two apostles were only ordinary men and not well-educated. The officials were certain that these men had been with Jesus, so they knew that they had a relationship with Jesus. And other people will know that, too, when your actions are lining up with Jesus. But they could not deny what had happened. The man who had been healed was standing there with the apostles. He joined the apostles. He was with them, present with them. And John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way. So step one is really our introduction to Jesus. If we don't accept Jesus in these 12 steps and in our recovery or in our dealing with situations in our life, the first step is to recognize Jesus needs to be present in it, you know?
Yeah, in Romans 5, you need to understand we're born into sin, mm-hmm. so we know we're sinners. And Romans 5 says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So we were made sinners. And so by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. We've been made righteous.
Amen.
When we accept the Lord, we're in right standing with the Lord. That's why we come boldly before the throne, and that's what gets it done. Like you're praying for healing or casting demons out. It's being bold, you know?
Yes.
Just speak bold, even if you don't feel bold. I've been in fear where I couldn't hardly talk and just spoke bold and seen amazing things.
Yeah, and you know, I find that, and myself included, when I first came in, like the program or, you know, going to school to be a therapist or whatever it was that I was doing to get better, you know, and have a good life and live right in my mind. It was really, my problems always stem from not wanting to admit defeat. Whenever I'm stuck in something that, it's pride. I don't have a problem.
Praise God, you know.
You know, I don't have a problem. And I find that a lot of people, and when they get the information that we're all, what that means is that we're all born sinners. That's what Paul's talking about. We're all born sinners. That it's not your fault. I mean, you know.
It's Adam's fault.
It's Adam's fault. And then we just follow a way that continues to cause harm in our life. And belief systems. But there's no way out of that sin without Jesus. There's no way. And when I share that with people that are in the rooms for many years, sometimes they get a revelation, because nobody wants to feel like a failure. Nobody wants to feel like it's my fault.
And there's also, I'll just be honest, a lot of rejection in the mm-hmm. rooms, and some people will buck right up and, mm-hmm. you know, I haven't drank in 20 years, and mm-hmm. but they're not free, but right. they will sit there and swear they're free. And I had them do that with me when I first started teaching on deliverance. I was saying about being delivered of lust, and, mm-hmm. you know, and this guy explodes. He was delivered of lust and just makes a big deal. And then in a recovery group, I was in another church. He starts confessing all this stuff. He was totally not free, and he knew he wouldn't repeat it. So I was like, you've made all that stuff up how free you are, and you're bound big time. But
that's why we
can
confess.
Walk without drinking or without doing drugs and not be what she's calling free. And I just want that to pair, because there's people in the rooms that don't know the Lord, that aren't. They've been sober for 20 years as far as alcohol and drugs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you're a perfect example.
I mean, I believed I knew God, but I didn't
free.
Know.
Right. You know, you were battling and they're white knuckling it usually.
I know the difference. I know the difference, absolutely.
Nothing beats
without Jesus Christ. When I had the revelation of who Jesus truly was, not just a man, not just, you know, someone that, but my Savior, my Lord and Savior, my life changed on another dimension, that fourth dimension that Bill W. talks about. It's the true awakening, the born-again experience awakening. We can have many experiences, you know, the spiritual experience, but an awakening, you can't shut it off. It just, that's it. You can't unsee what you see in that heavenly realm. And you want more. I know I do. You know? And that's the difference, because I had many, many years claiming in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, I love God, going to church every once in a while, you know, doing fourth step workshops, doing all these wonderful things, having children sober, getting married sober, you know, all these great things, going back to school, getting successful, all those things. But I still was not free. I was not made free. I had moments of worldly peace, but torment was right behind it, you know?
Amen.
And that's the difference. And no one could tell me any. Jesus is real, because I had him in my life where he wasn't who he is today to me, and my life is totally different. You know, I claimed that I knew him, but I didn't know him. And you have to. It's like having a husband in a house. Yeah, you could be really married.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, you could have. You could be really married, but you're never in the same room with him.
Imagine if you got married, and your husband or your wife, whatever you are, on the listening, he drops you off on your wedding night, and he disappears, comes back a year later. Disappears, comes back a year later. Mm-hmm. You're not going to put up with that. But that's what we do to the Lord. Oh, I'm saved. Oh, I got baptized in the Spirit. I spoke in tongues in 1947. You know, it's like, are you daily getting filled? Or are you spending time with them daily?
Yes, it's a relationship.
I see so many people that they just don't, they can't get it. They just, mm-hmm. like, when they're in this foxhole, they're getting intimate, but they're not living with him directing them, and so they're going into all kind of holes.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, we want to, the whole point of step one is really to introduce us to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And to get him to receive him, to accept him, so that we can receive the power, which is the Holy Spirit. And that's step two. But we're going to continue with John 14:6. It says, Jesus said that I am the way. Okay, we said that. I wanted to read James 5:16, which says, confess your sin to one another and pray that they may be healed. So we confess to each other and we pray for each other that we're healed. So step one is a confession, is an admittance. It's a public admittance. It's not, you know, I mean, yes, we can confess to God privately, but when we go to these places, if I'm not part of confessing that I have a problem, then it will be very hard for me to receive a solution. And then I close my mind and I'm closed-minded. So there was a lot of times I didn't want to accept that I had a problem with this, or that I was, you know, prideful, or that I was controlling. And until I get to that place where I can confess, you know what, I'm being really controlling, then God can step in. But if I don't do that, and how does God step in? He sends people. He sends his laborers. A lot of the time it's through someone that loves me. The love of God is in them. And they want to share. And they, you know, tell the truth. Praise the Lord. And if we don't, if we're open to receive, then we can start the healing process. We don't want to be closed-minded. Closed-minded puts a cap. And then we can't get the resources of heavenly resources, the eternal resources. So a relationship with Jesus Christ is the solution. He gives us the key to the power, the Holy Spirit, ability, and influence needed to overcome our challenges in life. Things that we are powerless over. We are powerless over people, places, and things. Period. Because we can't control them. But we can control how we behave and how we perceive and how we respond to those people, places, and things, which gives me the ability to be free in any situation. There are a lot of people in my life that are still the same after all the years that I've, you know, have Jesus in my life. But I become more tolerable, more loving. They're not changing, but I have. My views have changed. My heart changed towards them.
Amen.
Right? And that's where the freedom comes in. Because you can be in any situation. When you have a relationship with God that's intimate, and you know that it's God's love and God's ability in you that's being poured out, then you have the freedom to be anywhere. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and it will be my witness. So witness to Jesus. When people see the Holy Spirit through what you say, how you act, when you respond to something, then they see Jesus. They'll see it. Holy Spirit's always leading you to Jesus, to Christ. Ephesians 3:16, 20 says, you will be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, in your spirit, man. And then you want to be led by the Spirit so that you can renew the soul. And then the soul will transform your life, your body, your actions. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. So confessing or admitting wrongful doings is repenting. We need to do that, okay? That the things that we're doing, they're wrong. Even when they don't appear, the enemy wants to try to twist things. Like I share a lot that when I first came into the kingdom of God, and I was dating someone that was a Christian, and our intentions was to get married, and we thought that we can have sexual relation. And I got convicted. You know, and I had to make a decision. There's always going to be a crossroad. When we're not acting right, but we're seeking Him, He's going to rebuke us. He's going to teach us. He's going to lead us and give us that opportunity to make a free will decision to follow His way. He's never going to force us. And He's still going to love us, you know.
And she would talk to me about that, and I would give her truth, but I never went to you and said anything unless you asked.
Right. Amen. Amen. And it's important stuff. So selfish, self-centered thoughts, beliefs, actions, and words, that's what we need to start to pay attention to. Like, is everything that I'm believing and thinking and doing self-centered? Is it for my benefit? Right? Because that's wrongdoings. So when we admit we confess to be true or to be the case in our lives, typically with reluctance, right? Mm-hmm. And we allow someone to enter in a place. We allow the Holy Spirit to enter into that place. You know, it says, may you find Him now, that one is God. In our program, it says that in Alcoholics Anonymous, in OA, Overeaters, all these programs, all these self-help groups, all these, when you go to therapy, it's God is the solution. He is the only way. Confess means to admit or state that one has committed a crime. And it is. It goes against God's commands. Then we are zealots, lawbreakers, you know. I was a rebel. Mm. I was a rebel. I was a zealot. I was all these things. I was throwing stones at Jesus because I wanted to live my way, you know. And it's or is at fault in some way. We admit that we're at fault when we can confess. Acknowledge something reluctantly, typically because one feels slightly ashamed or embarrassed. And, you know, it's through love that God gives us the ability to feel that feeling so that we know we're not in line with Him. And then I think I read 1 John. Did I read 1 John? Okay. 1 John 1:9, James, do you have that? Can you turn to it? Because we have I'll do it.
Yeah, I just wanted to...
Go ahead, say something.
Yes. Go ahead. I wanted to... Say it. Because we're speaking on accepting the Lord, and mm-hmm. we sure don't want to end without giving an opportunity to everyone listening.
Uh-huh.
The most important part of the show right here.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
So anyone out there that's heart's been tugged, or you're battling, you don't know why things are going the way they are, you look at the way the world is going, and I just want you to know there is peace. Yes. Jesus is peace.
Yes.
And you can invite him in right now.
Yes.
The Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died and rose the third day, you shall be saved. With the heart man believes, and with confession salvation is made. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer.
Amen.
And I hear people knock the prayer. Oh, they just went and prayed a prayer that got them saved. Well, it opens the door. That's where my life turned to the Lord. So this is an important part. It doesn't mean you do this and you go on living like you live, though. You
go on seeking
after. We do need to ask him in our hearts. So anyone that wants to do that, just repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And I know you rose the third day.
And I know you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
Save me.
Save me.
And be Lord of my life.
And be Lord of my life.
And I surrender to you.
And I surrender to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. And if you pray that prayer and you don't have a Bible and you want to contact the radio station, they will be glad to give you one.
Yeah.
Or any information you want, you can contact Luann at her number. And if anything you want from me, just contact her if you would. Yeah. I'm just out a lot.
And my number is 631-745-7980. And I will read 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Right? So
it's a new day, a new dawn.
Hallelujah.
And glory.
Glory to God, right? And so we'll continue talking about step one, because there's so much richness in it. You know, I want to talk about, we talked a little bit about being honest today, and we'll talk more about confession, powerlessness, and then unmanageability. So with that, you're listening to WCNO, Kingdom Recovery, and my name is Luann, and I'm with James Wrench, and you can reach me at 631-745-7980 if you have any questions. Go ahead, James.
And I just want to pray right now, Father, I ask you to release your Holy Spirit. Fill people with your Spirit listening online.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher, on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer. They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and they claiming to be what they never were in their lives.
Friendship with God with Tom Cantor, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. right here on WCNO.
Please listen to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael every Saturday at 3 p.m. for encouragement from the Holy Bible for life's journey. Thank you.